I hereby introduce to you, Mr. Michael Veazey.
Hey, 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 welcome to Amazing FBA, the place to be for UK-based Amazon entrepreneurs. I'm your host, Michael Veazey. Welcome to the show. Hey, Amazing FBAers. This episode is brought to you by Amazing FBA again, and this time by the Private Label Course, written by myself and working with my business partner, Rob Sleeth, and various other people behind the scenes as well. So this course, like every other course, promises to get you launched with a private label product within about 6 months. Now, that's actually slower than a lot of courses promise. And of course, you can go faster if you take big risks and happen to be lucky, you can even possibly succeed as well. So why on earth should you bother with this one instead of another one, or, you know, as well as if you've already bought something? Well, here's the simple thing. My overwhelming experience of 2 years now of very, very hands-on one-to-one mentoring and work in masterminds with some people who've succeeded very, very well indeed, and some people who have done almost nothing despite me working incredibly hard and giving them incredible information. The difference is that some people are driven by fear, and I can't really help those people because they will always consume things and do nothing or not even consume things. But there is a set of people that, while there's an extraordinarily tiny percentage of people that will always succeed because they have almost no fear and they are very courageous, and that's the exceptional type of person, it would be remiss of me to create a course that only works for that person. What I think our course works for is the people who have a certain amount of fear and a lack of experience, but who are willing to have the discipline and the commitment to create their own business. And for you, if that's you, this course is made for you. And here's why: because you learn by doing, and because we create a structure of learning things that minimizes the risk so that you don't have to go out and spend crazy amounts of money in one go just because some guy like me on a video has said so. You can spend a small amount of money, maybe £100-200 initially, just to get a few products out there on a purely retail arbitrage basis. There's not a retail arbitrage course, but it's the way to learn the skills. And then the next stage, rather than going straight into private labeling and putting down £2,000-£4,000, £5,000 in one go for an order, we're going to spend a few $100 on a non-private label generic type product. Why would we do that? Because we want to test the market. We want to get some proof of how to do it. We want to go through the motions of importing or exporting, depending on where you're selling, as risk-free as possible. And you learn by doing. I'm an absolute believer in that. The other thing about the course is structured such that you don't have to learn everything and then go and take action. You learn a bit, you take action, you learn from that, you come back, you learn more from the videos, you go away, you take action, and you learn. So that is the difference, I believe, between how we work. It's baked into our philosophy. It's not just the course structure, but it is baked into the course structure as well. So just-in-time learning and learning by doing, those are the two principles that guide things. And I think that although for me they are common sense, it's not common in the internet marketing space, and it's not common in the Amazon training space. So that is what we have to offer that is different. If you're interested in that, you're in luck, because the course will be launched properly in September for about $495, so around the £350 mark. But we are going to do a beta launch for a handful of people, up to 10 people maximum, between about the 20th of July and the earliest part of August, about 10th of August. And either 10 people or the 10th of August, whichever comes first, we will stop that offer at that point. And that's going to be half price. Not only half price, but you will get to work with myself and my business partner, Rob Sleeth, on any gaps that you find in the information and that you think that you need to know. If we believe that you're right, we will create a video pretty much on the spot for you and add that to the course and any other resources needed as well, a PDF, a downloadable checklist, a spreadsheet, whatever it is. Also, if you feel that a video or a PDF or whatever is unclear, we will clarify that for you as well. So there's a great deal to play for. Sorry to talk for a long time, but if that does interest you, just email michael@amazingfba.com, and in the subject line, just write interested or something like that in the Amazing FBA private label course. And we, if we have more than 10 applicants, which I think is quite likely, given the interest that I've had from many, many people in the circle of mentor clients and mastermind members, not without even talking about the wider community of people I connect with, it's quite likely that we may have to ask you to justify being one of the first 10. What we're looking for is a killer success story. So we will work incredibly hard to help you be successful, because it's in our interests as well as yours. So If that interests you at all, michael@amazingfba.com. And then in the subject line, just put Amazing FBA private level course. Thank you very much for listening to what's a rather long pre-roll. Thank you for your patience. Now on with the show. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is your host, Michael Veazey speaking. Welcome back to the show. So today I'm going to talk about a topic that's not necessarily popular, but I think it's really, really important one. And that topic is Brexit. Now, I'm sure you've almost had enough of hearing about that on the news, and I don't blame you. But what I don't think there's been is much of a business-like conversation about it, especially for those who sell on any e-commerce, including Amazon. So I recently discussed this topic at the Payoneer Conference up in Manchester. Payoneer, by the way, are fantastic people for international business because they deal with any kinds of payment processing solutions, including transferring currencies from one currency to another, moving dollars around the world without them even leaving their system, lots and lots of clever stuff. So they are getting into the habit of running conferences, and some very, very useful stuff emerges. So hopefully this will be thought-provoking. And I'm going to suggest some possible problems that I think people are in a bit of denial about, and also some possible solutions. So first of all, the first question is Brexit means Brexit, famously, but what does that mean for e-commerce, really? And the first question that comes up is, why bother with Brexit? Why not just leave it to the politicians? Well, in the happy room of e-commerce, I think it's the elephant in the room. So people might say, isn't that a job for politicians? Well, maybe in theory, but with David Davis leaving the job as the Brexit secretary, so the actual person supposed to be heading up the entire business, and then Boris Johnson following a few days later, the foreign secretary, then that's obviously means that the British politicians are in disarray. So relying on them could be a very dangerous strategy. Obviously, you have the chicken little option, as I call it, which is to panic and just to worry about that the world's going to end. And that's probably not very helpful. And the other option is the one that I see, what they call the ostrich option. So you bury your head in the sand and pretend it's not happening. That's really a very poor business strategy, just as I wouldn't advise anyone, if they're selling a potentially dangerous product which might end up hurting somebody, not to take out product liability insurance. I wouldn't suggest you panic. I wouldn't suggest you leave without insurance. You need to have a plan and then move on with your life. That is what I suggest as well for the whole business of Brexit. A person's success in life, said Tim Ferriss, can usually be measured by the number of uncomfortable conversations he or she is willing to have. This is going to be a slightly uncomfortable conversation, but I think the business option is the third one. It's not Chicken Little. It is not the ostrich option. It is to lead, and to lead your businesses. So we are not Brexit experts or Brexperts or any such disgusting new names. They seem to come out of Brexit. But we are all about business here. It's not about politics, national identity, emotions, tribalism, pro or anti-Brexit, pro or anti-particular parties. It's not about what's being done by the government so much, but what we can do as entrepreneurs and how we can prepare for any future. So if you're an entrepreneur, I think, sadly, Brexit is your business. So the Brexit train, to stretch a metaphor to breaking point, is leaving the station. So what should we be doing about this? Well, meanwhile, in football, there's some interesting examples of rather better British leadership. If you think back to the 1990s, if you can remember that far back, there's a semi-final, which is the last time England got to the semi-finals 28 years ago. There's a penalty shootout, and famously, that was the end of that chance. Thinking back to 1996, I remember Gareth Southgate. I remember the Germany to England game. I was in Germany studying at the time, and I was traveling with some Germans in the car, and we were all glued to the radio commentary. And sure enough, once again, we came out because of penalties. Fast forward to 2018, and Gareth Southgate, wearing a much nattier garb than he used to, his famous signature trademark waistcoat, was a very much happier man, because in the quarterfinal, they won the penalty shootout. And okay, so we didn't get beyond the semi-final, but hey, for England, that counts as a huge success, right? That's a once-in-a-generation thing. So this is rather better leadership than we've seen from the politicians. So I think that's because Gareth Southgate was willing to address the end-game risks now in football. That comes down to penalties, as well as things like the set pieces, the corners, goal kicks, etc., etc. So I think that really shows us two options. Again, option A, pretending risks don't exist, the ostrich option, or option B, preparing for all possibilities. So if you know that you could end up in a penalty shootout, training people for that, including picking the exact right people, giving them specific training, practicing performing under pressure, all the things that Gareth Southgate did for the English team finally. So, which is better, poor preparation, a la Southgate in 1996, missing the penalties, or great preparation, a la Southgate as the manager? So this is all about planning for the end game and possible scenarios. So I think there are three main scenarios that people seem to agree on with Brexit. Scenario A is the so-called soft Brexit, where the UK stays inside the customs union. Then everything looks wonderful. Well, that's not particularly likely by the looks of it. If it happens, great. There are many opportunities. Scenario B is the hard Brexit, so where we end up with higher tariffs for export and import, even though some kind of deal is struck with the EU, which is very likely. And then scenario C is a no-deal Brexit, where we revert to the World Trade Organization norms on trade. Now, a lot of people say that's a vanishingly small possibility because it would be so damaging to all parties involved, the EU and the UK, not to mention any trading partners with either of those. But unfortunately, just because it would be damaging and stupid doesn't mean it won't happen. If you assume that politicians never do stupid things, you've not been following the news for the rest of your life. And if you think that international agreements never break down, then equally you've never watched the news or indeed looked at your history. So with due respect, I don't think that is a realistic thing to say. That is zero possibility. It may be a small possibility, but it would be a pretty nuclear option. So the main risk areas to assess our trade barriers, which obviously get in the way of trade completely, have multiple effects. Currency risk, the relationship of the pound to the euro, and also the pound to the US dollar, which is particularly important if you're importing from China to the UK or the EU, for example. The Chinese generally want to be paid in dollars. And also there's an economic risk in the UK as well. That means consumers may have less money to spend, which if you're selling goods in the UK is something you also need to have a plan for. So let's look at these three scenarios in turn and think about some possible solutions. This is more of a starting point for discussion than an end point. And when it comes to discussion, by the way, the best place to do that is the Facebook group. Go to amazingfba.com/FB. That's in Facebook. And there will hopefully be some debate there. Now, let's keep it businesslike. It's not about political mudslinging. There's enough of that on Facebook. I have no interest in creating more of that. But do come with some business-like thinking about this. So scenario A, UK stays inside the EU customs union. Everyone shakes hands and is friends and basically, you know, angels sing and choirs of angels sing and everything is wonderful. Well, it is possible. I think it's somewhat unlikely. It's certainly the wish that the British government is hanging on to for dear life. Just because they want it doesn't mean it will happen, but okay, it's possible. If that happens, fantastic. The solution for the moment, especially with the pound being quite weak against the euro, is simply to export from the UK to the European Union. It's basically a continuation of the current status quo. Now, the good news is that there is a transition period agreed between the UK and the European Union that will start in March 2019 for 2 years. And I think it's very likely that some form of the current scenario will continue during that period. So there may well be a period, even if we have ultimately a harder Brexit, where this is the case, and that will be very good for exporting from the UK. That's pretty much it. That's a pretty straightforward scenario. We don't need to worry about that now. Scenario B is a hard Brexit, but with some kind of agreement with the EU. We're going to end up with higher tariffs for exports and imports to the UK. So all those lorries that have been moving with impunity for 40-odd years suddenly are going to have to deal with customs. Now, it's not just about import tariffs, although that is a factor, but those are generally going to be a few percent. Probably it depends on the deal that they hit. But it's not just about that. It's also about import licensing, which is about the red tape, which could really slow things down. It's about rules for valuation of goods at customs, I should say, the pre-shipment inspections, which might be needed to be made in the country of origin. So if you're shipping, for example, from China into the UK, you know, who knows what agreement they'll have reached there. But if you're shipping from the UK out into Germany, for example, there may well be some rules whereby it has to be valued in the UK before it goes out, and then it may have to be dealt with in Germany as well. So all sorts of red tape and shenanigans could hit. Then you're going to have things about the rules of origin. For example, if you import a load of car parts from China sufficient to make a complete car, you can't just assemble it in the UK and say it's made in the UK. There are rules around these kinds of things. So that would have to be sorted out as well. So it's a pretty ugly scenario, but my solution is pretty simple, which is to avoid all trade barriers if possible, just buy in Europe, particularly in Eurozone countries, and sell in the Eurozone. So you avoid all currency risk if you're in the Eurozone. And if you're in the whole of the European Union Customs Union, you certainly avoid any kind of customs, import, export, difficulties with all that stuff. It's very, very simple. So you're just going to put a straightforward solution in place. There is actually a massive opportunity here anyway, whatever happens in future, because if you're selling to Germany, which is one of the highest per capita income nations in the world and the second biggest Amazon marketplace, by the way, after USA, it's certainly already one of the best places to buy consumables or topicals, i.e. skin cream or anything goes on your body or in your body. But for hard goods, it's already, I believe, a place you should be checking out, irrespective of Brexit. A couple of Eastern European states have lower minimum wage than China. When I say states, I mean sovereign states, i.e. countries, just to be clear. China's minimum wage is also going up because of the massive political pressure there to make sure that happens. And that isn't really the same in Eastern Europe. So it's a huge opportunity anyway. But if we're going to have a hard Brexit or even possibility of one, you really should get your skates on and explore this as something that I'm going to be looking into over the next few months. And some of my mentoring clients have already started sourcing in Europe, and they are well placed to survive whatever happens in future, good or bad. The other thing to do, of course, is to look across the water and sell into the USA. Now, until recently, that was a bit of a no-brainer. Now we've got some tariffs coming in on goods coming in from China. That's a bit more complex. That's a more nuanced discussion. It depends on the exact goods you're shipping in and the exact amount of tariffs and so forth. But one simple solution, this is one of many solutions, is to simply buy and sell inside the USA. That avoids, again, any trade wars, any Chinese tariffs specifically, anything like that. And simply make a virtue of necessity. So made in America, it's going to resonate very, very well with a lot of buyers in America. They are somewhat tired of somewhat low quality Chinese stuff, particularly on Amazon. So it's a very good selling point. Or you could sort of, as it were, drape yourself in the British flag and do the designed in London thing. So you could have British branding with American manufacturers, what I call the iPhone strategy, which is designed in California, manufactured in China. It actually says it on my trusty iPhone. It would say it if it didn't have a case on it, which, by the way, is an Amazon product from China. There's a lot to be said in favor of this. Now, with hard goods, you may find that the economics of this don't work so well. With consumables, you should be doing it anyway. But the economics of this are going to shift a lot, that a lot of products that aren't viable to have made in the USA right now, because Chinese goods are so much cheaper to import, the economics of that are going to shift. So be flexible and be ready to be fast on your feet. But now's the time to start working on developing relationships with potential US suppliers. If you've been shipping from China to the US up till now, do consider the second plan, which is the plan B of buying in the US in order to sell in the US. Scenario C is a no-deal Brexit reversion to World Trade Organization norms. Think about that. This is the penalty shootout equivalent. If you think, if you want a footballing analogy, the Federation of German Industries, the BDI, last week said they were setting up a task force of major companies to make provisions for the serious case of a very hard exit. Anything else, it said, would be naive. So some serious Germans, who are always organized people, if not always such a laugh at parties, are making some very serious provisions for this. This is a bit of a hint that you should be doing the same as well. And notice these are not political people, they are business people. That is the sort of lead I think we should be following. Again, I think there's an actually scenario B, scenario C, but I think the same sorts of solutions obviously can apply, especially if you're dealing with really unknowns in a really messy situation. You may well want to just stay out of going in and out of the UK at all and simply trade within Europe or trade within the USA. So these are starting points for discussion, and they're things to explore. These are not the solutions. I mean, if anyone says they know the solution to the Brexit, they are probably deluding themselves or you. It's rather like the solution to the Middle East. I mean, it's one of these massive problems that will rattle around probably for a generation or two. But I do think that we can respond to it. Gareth Southgate is the person I want to come back to at the end as an example of some British leadership that we could do well to follow. So he says about pressure, which I think is one of the things we have to deal with, is that mental pressure of things that push people into the Chicken Little panic or the ostrich buried in the sand. In order to stay focused, we have to deal with pressure. And this is what Gareth Southgate has to say about pressure. He said, the thing that bothers me is that everybody keeps asking me about the pressure. And I start to think, maybe I'm not seeing what it should be. But then I think, where does the pressure come from? And the more you read and listen and take in, it's normally the voice in your own head. So having a clear plan of what you want to do and always be ready to be challenged on what your thinking is, but being comfortable that you're covering what's needed to be covered gives you the freedom and belief in what you're doing. And I could not really ask for a better quote to apply to the whole Brexit scenario. Okay, there are some uncomfortable things going on. There's pressure. But if we know we've covered what needs to be covered, i.e. in any scenario, we have a plan B, we have a business model that can work in any situation, any political, geopolitical environment, then we have a solid future business. And I would add as well, final thought, that the companies which do this and see and are positioned to survive the really tough times, which go in waves, there's always business cycles driven by different things, often geopolitics or military conflict will often kick off recessions or world global crises. Think the oil price crisis in the 70s, which led to a lot of inflation in the UK and USA, and a big economic crisis. Well, that was kicked off by the Middle East and conflict out there, and then sort of oil prices shot up and et cetera, that sort of thing. So Amazon is a classic place example of this, because in the 90s it got itself set up. It was a tech company. It was part of the tech bubble of the 1999 to 2000 massive cull of tech companies. It limped out of that somewhat, but it survived when many went down. And then of course, as a retail company, they're very vulnerable to the recession as a whole. The company, the country's economy as a whole in USA and other developed nations in 2007-8-9 with the big crash and all the financial crisis, that really affected all retailers. But again, a lot of retailers went out of business and Amazon survived. So when they got through to the upswing again that's happened since then up till roughly now, then they were well placed to take over because they kept their market share of what was a shrinking market for a couple of years, but they grew their market share by the competition dying off, which meant that they owned more of the retail market and specifically the online retail, but the retail market as a whole, right? Because e-commerce keeps going like that and going up and up, and offline retail, so brick and mortar, goes down, 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 down. This is the story we keep seeing in the British High Street. M&S has shut one of their flagship stores. Cavendish House has shut the flagship store in Oxford Street. And John Lewis is surviving, mostly because they've done a great job with their e-commerce website. I mean, they're not thriving. So that was just one of those places where in history, the recession clears out the unviable businesses. And whilst the viable businesses, which in this case would be Amazon, survive only, maybe just survive, but when they've survived that and dust clears and things start to pick up, they get to hugely dominate, which is one reason why Jeff Bezos is now the richest person in the world, because Amazon, since 2008, has grown like Topsy. And that's one of the reasons for that, is because the recession cleared off some of their competition. And I predict a very similar thing happening with Brexit in the USA and in Europe, and especially, I have to say, in the UK, which I say Brexit, I'm generalizing, when I predict something similar in the USA because of the trade wars between Trump and China, and or the USA and China, if you want to be more general. But I also predict that Brexit is going to do very funny things to the UK economy potentially, and especially the e-commerce landscape, which is what I know about, of course. And there will be winners and losers. And if you want to be on the side of the winners, you need to just look reality in the face. And that's point one. And point two, have a plan at the very least. So very, very interesting times ahead. The Chinese curse, as they say, may you live in interesting times. We have no choice about that. We don't control, at least I don't control, I don't know any e-commerce seller who controls the world economy or the political system in the UK, the EU, America or China or indeed anywhere else. But what we can do is look ahead, make plans and know that even in the worst case scenario, we are going to have businesses that are robust and will survive. And that will help you sleep at night as well, if nothing else. So do join the conversation. Get over to the Amazing FBA Facebook group, amazingfba.com/FBF, as in face, B as in book. Thanks for listening. See you in the next show. That's it. Thank you so much for your attention. I really appreciate it. Now, over to you. First, 80-20 everything. Learn the critical few. Maybe there's one thing in this podcast that can make all the difference. Find that thing. 20% of inputs, give 80% of the outputs. Which are the critical few for you? Then take action. Imperfect action beats perfect inaction every single time. Finally, and not least, review. If you've made mistakes, learn from them. If you've made a success, duplicate it. You can't do that unless you look back. So in summary, learn the critical few, then do, then review. And then, my friend, it's up to you. That's it. Thank you so much for your attention. Speak to you in the next episode.